get in a place of expectation. What that means is you're just expecting God to minister to you, to give you what you need, to add, you know, I mean, to impart to you wisdom, give you wisdom, praise God. Because how many knows the messenger don't know? He's just the mail carrier. I mean, there's no way that my mailman knows what I need. But he brings what they send me, you know, and all of that. He has no idea what I'm getting, but he is very important. You know, I expect my mailman to bring my UPS stuff or whatever it is. You know, but the Holy Spirit, he's the one that brings it to us. I mean, he carries out, he fully knows the will of God for me and you. He fully knows the plan of God. He fully knows what we need. He fully knows where we are. He fully knows everything about me and you. The Holy Spirit knows us. And you know, we can have a relationship. So this is part two of what I started Wednesday night. Fear has to go. And one of the things that I've walked out and still walking out and keep under is fear. You know, it's not a pride thing. I'm not talking about, you know, back before I got saved, I was scared of nothing. I wore bad caps that derogatory stuff and all of that. And I wanted somebody to mess with me, you know. And that was pride. Really, I was walking in pride, but I'm not talking about, you know, when I say I don't fear anything, it's because what I'm talking about is that perfected love, God's Spirit, it cast out fear. All of that fear. Nick, now I don't fear man, not because I feel like I'm a big Billy bad boy, you know. That's not why I don't fear man. I don't fear man because I read the scripture where it says, "Fear not, don't fear man, what they can do to you, but fear the other one." Talking about God, you know, praise God. And then I say, I don't fear dying, you know. And the reason why, you know, I mean, fear has no place in a Christian's life. Fear is of the enemy. I don't care. There's not a healthy fear. People say, well, fear is healthy. It gives you wisdom. No, it don't. Fear is torment. We read it in the Bible that perfected love casteth out fear because fear has torment. Fear torments you. It'll torment dying. I mean, you think about dying. Don't think about the box. You ain't going to smother in there. Right? Because you're already gone. Well, I've had people to tell me, what if I'm not really dead and they bury me and I can't get out? I'm talking about Christians, you know. You know, I said, you got to quit thinking about you. Don't be thinking about you. I put it on Facebook back when COVID started, and I waged an all-out war personally against COVID. I knew that it wasn't God. I don't care where it come from. I don't care who sent it. I don't care what their reason for sending it was. I don't care. That wasn't my issue. So I personally, in my heart, stood up against it personally, whether I was at church or whether I was in my car or whether I was going to gas pumps or whether, you know, praise God. And people even told me, well, you know, you've had open heart surgery. You can't be out, you know. You don't need to be, this is dangerous, you know, and praise God. And then I started to tell a bunch of them, you know, no, it's dangerous to be afraid of it. Because we read the scripture, put it up there, Beth, that 1 Timothy, I want to read it before I go on. The 1 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. I'm sorry. I had you to write it down wrong too, didn't I? But we're not in a hurry. That's not it. 2 Timothy. I can't preach that. I don't have no revelation on this right now. God has not given us a spirit of fear. The King James says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. This is amplified. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, cowardice, or craven, or cringing, and fawning fear, But he has given us a spirit of power, of love, and a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. That's what we got. And I thought, and the Lord just dropped it in my spirit when I was kind of studying this, maybe Monday and Tuesday. And he said, where there's fear, he said, there'll be unstable mind. You won't be stable in your mind. He said, it'll give you an unstable mind. And I thought about James over there where he said that we're not to be two-headed. You know, he said, anybody that wavers, well, you believe until you get a trial. And then the trial causes you to begin to cow down to it, praise God. He said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We can't be double-minded. Cannot fear cause you to be double-minded. Fear talks to you. Fear will give you a vision of what could happen. Car wrecks. Come on, somebody. Some of you can't hit the interstate. You're so fearful of the traffic. No, you just get in there and flow with God and get. You got the angels in there. See, you got to renew your mind to the Word of God. Fear has no place in your life. Hallelujah. Fear, it will destroy you. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. And faith contaminated gets no results. Contaminated faith, it might as well say you don't got none. See, fear to a Christian is like kryptonite was to Superman. There wasn't but one weakness. That was a woman and kryptonite. Kryptonite was a weakness to Superman. It's the only thing that rendered him powerless. See, God used that in my life back under 28 years ago. He said that is the way that fear is to your spirit man. The way kryptonite is to Superman. I had a revelation of that, and I thought, man, I can't tolerate fear. Man, if it renders me, I mean, Superman could leap over mountains and buildings and stop airplanes and stop, I mean, bus crashes, right? I know it was a movie. But God brought it in and God showed me in my own life. He said, you cannot tolerate fear. He said, you cannot. He said, you gotta stop being afraid of storms, weather, bad weather. He said, it robs you of faith. He said, you've got to stop. He said, Jesus, and I begin to ask the Lord, God, how do I do this? I'm afraid of it. I told you all the story, and I'm not going through it again, the bit that planted fear in me as a young boy about tornadoes. I lived on Tornado Alley, they called it. And I mean, I'm telling you, I went to Tennessee. I'm not going through the story. If phase one coming to Blount County, I'd just like to leave Blount County and go on vacation every time. I hated springtime, and then I found out that hurricane season through James Spann was in October. And I'm like, no! It spins this bad weather off of them hurricanes coming out of there. So they name it everyone, Ivan and Ivy. And oh boy, and then I started saying, oh my God, Ivy's coming. Katrina's on its way. She's going to leave Mississippi and come kill us. And so I said, Lord, how do I do it? He said, my word, son. And so I'm reading one day, and I read the story of Jesus in the hinder part of the ship. The ship was being tore apart by a storm, and they woke Jesus up. We read it. They woke Jesus up, and Jesus got up, and Jesus rebuked that storm. And then he got on to the disciples. He chastised them. Why did y'all fear? And God spoke to me when I read that. He said, there's how you do it. He said, you're in my name. You're in my authority. He said, you have the same authority Jesus had. He said, and Jesus spoke to that storm and it shut up. He said, and I thought, I don't have that kind of faith. I don't have that kind of faith like Jesus. I don't got the devil will play with your mind. You are in Christ. You was baptized. They were baptized into Moses. We read it Wednesday night. They were baptized. They all drink out of that same spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. And Caleb and Joshua kept drinking. I believe Moses and Caleb and Joshua kept a drinking. They didn't look at them Hittites and them Jebusites and all of them ites. They looked at what God had said to them, and they said, bless God, we are going in. We don't care if they are giants. I made fun of it, but really, I mean, you know, I told Travis, maybe it was Thursday, I said, think about it. I said, you know, I said, I made fun of the grapes. I said, but God told them. I said, they hadn't seen what God told them down yonder when they was in Egypt. I said, they had not seen it. I said, but bless God, when Moses sent 12 of them in to scope it out, some of them, and it took two men to bring out, the Bible says, a cluster of grapes. I've never seen grapes that big. A cluster. I got a little cluster as big as my hand on my grapevine right now. I mean, this must have been watermelon size, jumbo watermelon size, you know, grapes in a cluster. Two men to take it out. Well, I could dig my whole grapevine up. I got about 30 or 40 clusters, and I could drag it down here real easy. Well, see, we miss these little bitty details of the amazingness of God. See? And so they go in, and Caleb and Joshua, the 10 comes out. And I mean, this is just, the Bible says all Scripture is written for our inspiration, for correction and instruction. All Scripture is by because of the Lord. These were examples that we can follow in the Bible of do's and don'ts. We do follow and we don't. I had this saying, because Satan was trying to trouble me about things in the church and in the business and blah, blah, blah. He, whatever tool he's got, he'll try to use it on you. Fear and all doubt and unbelief. See, fear opens the door to doubt and unbelief. Faith gets grace. Unbelief don't get no grace. But I thought about this statement. It's a worldly statement, but I used it. Something would happen and I'd say, Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. I don't care. Somebody in the service said, you don't care about us? I said, man, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about keeping all these cares off so I can care for you. I can't take all of these cares. You can't take all the cares of your family and your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers and your bills and your not enough money and all of that. And you know, you can't take all that on yourself and get into the promised land. That's what happened to them. They said, they're giants, man. We can't take them. We just can't do it. We can't. I tried to find Cain in the Bible, went to the bank, and I renewed my mind to the Word of God that there's nothing impossible to those that believe. All things are possible to those that believe. Mark 9:23. Now, praise God, if it's in there and Jesus wrote it, well, I believe he meant it. I believe he meant it. And I believe if I stand on it, lay hold of it, and don't get double-minded, I believe he'll do whatever I'm believing him to do, black God. Well, you know, I went in the bank and I done figured out the thing I wanted them to do. You know, and I went in there and I laid that transaction up there and I said, I need you to do this right here. Whatever it was, I don't even remember now. But I'd already figured it out for the bankers. How many knows we have an unction from the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, and we know all things? Praise God, I just believe that. I believe if there's anything that I need to know, that he can drop it in me and give me wisdom and give you wisdom that everybody else don't have. The world don't have the wisdom of God, and we are in Jesus. Well, walking there, and she said, Mr. Weston, I can't do that. I said, that's not in the Bible. What's not in the Bible? I said, can't. I said, the word can't is not in the Bible. I said, and I got the dictionary to see if I could find it where I could get me a reason where I can't do some things. And I said, and I couldn't find it. I said, but I did find the scripture in the Bible where it says that we can. I said, you're a Christian, right? Yeah, yes, sir. We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. I said, so you that word don't exist. I said, I need this transaction done. I said, and you can. Well, she got to go to the manager. So she goes to the manager. Manager tells her, well, let's do it. Comes back. She said, I didn't think it could be done. Well, I walked out there and I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that your wisdom is real. I'm teaching the tellers. I'm teaching the bankers, and I've never went to school. They kicked me out of the eighth grade because I had a mustache blacker than Johnny's. I mean, I'm in eighth grade with a mustache. That tells you how smart I am. You know, praise God, hallelujah. I mean, I worked hard to get out. You know, one time I wished I was a dog. I watched my dogs get to lay around all day, and I had to go to school. So I thought, man, I wished I was a dog. I wished I was a dog. I would never have to go to school. You know how that stuff is, I guess. I was talking to the boy that worked for us. He said, I didn't wish I was a dog, but I did want to be a bird. Well, I wouldn't have to go to school. He wished he'd been a bird back there, man. He'd fly around all day, you know. Praise God. But you know what? Praise the Lord. See, we ain't got time to put up with fear. Fear that our marriage ain't going to make it. Fear of our future. Fear of our bodies and, you know, different things like that. And, you know, people have told me over the years, you know, Brother Weston, you got to use common sense. So I went and tried to find common sense in the Bible. And I found where Jesus spit in the mud and put it on the eye. And I thought, good Lord, that's not common sense. I mean, it looks like you get dirt in your eye, man. Gosh. Have you ever got sand in your eye? Yeah, man. And Jesus spits in the mud and puts it on her eyes, man. And I thought, that's not common sense. And then I thought, man, God rolled the Red Sea back. That's not common sense. I mean, what are they going to do, get the Red Sea? Somebody build a boat, for God's sake. They didn't know what a boat was. I mean, so God, and so the Lord told me, he said, see, that is a carnal way of thinking. He said, and I told Paul to write in my Bible that the carnal mind is an enemy to God. Contrary to me. He said, it's contrary to me. He said, I don't want your thinking. He said, I want you to have my thinking, because my thinking is unlimited. You're the healed of God. You're the blessed of God. You are more than a conqueror. See what kind of thinking he wanted me to have? Instead of, I can't do it. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I walked on a job one time, and I didn't know that there was this big motor plant where they rewind huge motors. They bring them in, you know, on semis and all of that, and they called me up, and back in the 90s, you know, and I figured the job up, and the job was $35,000. I like to fainted. I mean, it took me, I worked a whole year back then. I made $13,000 a year. I understand when you want to get income taxes back. I sure was glad, D. I got $600 a year, man. I could not wait till April. Travis grew up, and I nearly got upset at him because he got old enough to wean me. I couldn't look for the $600 a year, man. I felt like he abandoned me. What'd you grow up for, son? I was getting $600 a year. But I went on this job, and I'd got a price on these doors, and they said, well, we want you to do it. And I think it was either $35,000, $45,000. I told them, I said, I need $25,000 down. I need a $25,000 check. I mean, it choked me to tell them that. I'm thinking, there's no way they're going to give me 27 years old, man. I'd have to control myself with $27,000. I wasn't saved long, Johnny. That's took me a whole year. I made $13,000 a year. Now I'm going to get 2 year pay down. And I thought, man, I could live a long time on that. See? And there I was, I'm like, oh, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, that's fear. He said, your fear's got to go. And I stood, so I said, well, I better come check the job. And I go down, and I'm standing there, and that door was so tall. Of course, I'm a short guy. I mean, I didn't realize that they were going to pour 8 foot of concrete. So I'm way down there, Johnny. I'm nearly 10 foot taller than what the door opening is. And I looked up, and I thought, oh, my God. I can't even, I got to go get something. I got to go get a extension ladder where I can climb up there. I can't even get a tape measure that long. I'm standing there in there, and I thought, I can't do this job. I just can't do this. I can't do it. I just can't do it. You know, I'm having these thoughts, you know, I can't do it. And that's the way it was in the world, though, see? And I'd come over here. Now, the Bible says when we're born again that we are new creations, and we've been given this Spirit, a power, love, a concrete, sound, well-balanced mind and self-control. I don't have to fight no more. I ain't been in a fist fight since I got saved. Now, I've come close, just to be honest with you. I've come close one time when a dude done Travis wrong. His happy hour started about 9 o'clock in the morning. He done had a few drinks. He rooked Travis out of $45. He was about 17, you know, whatever it was. And I had my wrench in my back pocket, and he's sitting in the chair, and I just get my wrench, and I just go down there, and I shove it right up in his nose, I'm talking about. You know, I thought, you know what, I shove this wrench up there in that brain. You won't never do nobody like that again, but God, you know. I mean, I had all these evil thoughts. I mean, I wanted to get him. I was actually feeling pretty good, Johnny. I felt like, but God, one more time, for old time's sake, pray God I can bust him up. I'll just bust him up and he'll never do anybody wrong. I'll teach him a lesson. Then in here, man, I'm like, my heart's going boom, 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 boom. You know, that's the Holy Ghost, man. Like, oh, halt, 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 oh, whoa, back up, stop. Well, the guy's in the service truck, he's like, oh, I'll jack him up, I'll mess him up. Boy, when I got that, he was standing out there, he run to the truck and got in, and I think laid down in the back seat. I'm like, man, that mouth of yours, you wouldn't do nothing. Good thing I didn't get him to back me up, Johnny. Get in the fight and he run to the truck. We ain't even done nothing yet. So anyways, I went on, you know, with that old man trying to rise up. I wasn't that big, just crazy. You're crazy when you're serving Jesus. You can say, you know, I could say that's because I'm a West End and I was born in Blount County. And oh, no, I'm devilish. He's stupid. He's stupid. I bucked against authority. That's nothing to brag about. I was stupid. I mean, it's a wonder they didn't put me on the jail. They should have. Now y'all getting quiet. You got to get rid of that braggadocious stuff. How do you get born again? Boy, about to shove a wrench up there. No, I'm only telling you that because God arrested me. And then I went on, praise God, and I backed off the man, you know, praise God, And I just let him have it. I told him, I said, load, let's load up. So anyways, I go on, boy, and I felt like that's the way a dad ought to be in front of his son. I mean, just shove that wrench up there and let him know, buddy, I'm still alive down here, and you don't do this too many times. Well, I lost the presence of the Lord in here. I lost it, Johnny. I lost the presence of the Lord. That peace, what I'm talking about. He was still with me. But I didn't have no peace. I didn't have no joy. And then I started, it seemed like I was losing my faith for finances. I mean, you know, and then I felt like, oh, my God, my marriage is going to go bad. And there's no confidence when you're walking in the flesh in God. Well, I went on, you know, praise God, try to pray. Nope, not going to happen. Not going to feel God. You're not going to, you crossed the line. And so anyways, I repented. I told God, God, I'm sorry. If I need to, I'll go tell the dude. I'll drive up there and tell him I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. He said, no, he said, that'll be all right, but I want you to tell your son that that was a bad example of a Christian. Not talking about being a preacher. I did that in front of my son, in front of my workers, a Christian. I had no excuse. Why? You know, fear motivated me. My son's going to lose that money. Oh, that's my baby. He's my only son. Only one. That time. Didn't have no, you know, wasn't married, nothing, you know. And so, see, that's why I say, and God told me, that Satan will try to use the ones closest to you if he can. Somebody you care about, somebody you love. He can't get to me, a stranger, as quick as he can one of y'all. You know, I love y'all guys, you know. Well, anyways, I go on, you know, and so the next day or so or whatever it was, I told Travis, I told him, we got to work, and I said, I just want you to know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what you saw me do. That's not me. That's not me. I said, I was yielding to the flesh man. I said, you can't even blame stuff like that on the devil. Devil made me do it. Devil didn't make you do that. What'd he do? Throw the wrench in your hand? Come on, somebody. I took the wrench out. You know? So I told my son, I said, I want you to know that I'm sorry. I said, that was a bad, bad, bad example as a father. I said, that was not a good representation of Jesus. I made it right, Johnny. You know, I feel like later, you know, God was like, see, that's what causes him to have integrity later. Now, why I'm telling you that is that's all of that stuff. Did you know that I was really scared, Johnny, when I wore those big bad boy hats? I'm not going to tell you what it said. I mean, and then I go down around, you know, Birmingham places with it on to the movies, man. I wanted. Well, they went over there. My cousin went down there. They beat his car up and stuff. And I thought, well, by God, they won't beat mine up. And so I just get me a hat on, and it wasn't a good hat, and it was giving signals. I was a racist. You know, and I go down there and I get out, intrigued, we'll go in the movies. I'm like, y'all try to beat my car up down here, you know, and it's not going to be a good day in Birmingham. I know I'm a Blount County boy, but God, I feel the same way down here in Birmingham. We all go to the movies. These are our movie places. Y'all just happen to live down here. That would have been a bad day in paradise. They all had mercy on me, Johnny. You know? And so anyways, I come up here, you get born again, and Satan wants to carry on that same junk in your life, that same pattern thinking, that same to keep you in fear, intimidated. See, I felt intimidated by another race. I felt like we were here first, white people. We were here, you know. God created us first. Something happened later on. I don't know what happened. It's funny now, you know, because the Bible says whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There is only one race. One. Every one of us, black, white, brown, purple, yellow, big, small, skinny, all of that. We came from one place, Adam and Eve. We are the descendants from God down here. There's one race. That settled that for me. There's only one race. Hallelujah. And so that did away. See, God had to do away with racism in my heart for me to set me free and to reach people for Jesus. We're all over the world. People say, your little church doing good? And I ain't had one of them in a long time. What little church? Well, how many y'all got? I ain't got nothing to do with how big we are. We're all over the world. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to get one of my brothers to come to church one time. He kind of out of church, pastored for years, and went through divorce and got out of church, and I'm all right. And, you know, I'm like, no, you ain't all right. You ain't all right. You know, so I told him, man, come on to church. I ain't going to be no pew warmer. You know, I ain't going to be no pew warmer. He said, I got a message for the world. I said, well, you know what? I said, you're talking to somebody and have you all over the world in 5 minutes. I said, I'm all over the world, man, and I ain't even got to fly you nowhere. I said, but it ain't about that. You've got a message, but you got no connection. I said, you got to get somewhere where God wants you to be so God can raise you up and give you the ability to go preach and open doors to go minister what you think you have for the world. Hallelujah. And so we've got, fear has got to go. Well, I'm afraid of what the doctor's going to say. The Bible says in Isaiah, see, you got to combat these fears with the Word of God. There ain't but one way. You got to slap those thoughts down, and you got to come back, and you got to lay the blocks of the Word of God, building on the foundation of Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. You got to come back and say, Isaiah says, whose report will I believe? I'm going to believe. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. And the Bible says in Isaiah that he was wounded for our transgression, and by his stripes ye were healed. And you come back and you renew your mind. What if I die? Don't even entertain that stuff. Well, even if you do, the Word of God says, what about if you die? He says, to be absent from this body is to be present from the Lord. It says, O death, where is your victory? That death was swallowed up in victory. Paul, one time, he said, it's better for me to go to heaven. I'd like to get out of this shipwreck stuff. I'd like to get out of all this persecution. I'd like to get out of all this beatings I've been getting. I'd like to get out of all of this hell I've been going through for Jesus. But he said, it's better for me to stay here with you for your sakes. Now, you know what? That has to be a life that, like Teresa was talking about. He didn't love his life. He said it in there, I love not my life unto the death. I don't fear. Paul was nigh unto death one time, and God raised him up. I've told the Lord more than once, praise God. I mean, I had heart attacks and stuff, you know, before I went to the doctor and all that. I'd be in the garden trying to drive my fence post for my tomato steaks, and I would just be hurting, really, really excruciating hurting in my shoulder blades. I didn't feel like, I mean, it wasn't my heart, you know, I didn't. And so I would get on my knees out there in that garden, because I'm going garden and I'm a faith man. Come on, somebody. Whatever you like to do, you're a faith man, a faith woman, a faith, plant your flowers, you know, whatever you like. And I would get on my knees and I'd say, Father, I just praise you right now that by Jesus Christ, I didn't, oh my God, call 911. I had 911. And so I didn't know I'm having heart attacks. I had probably 2 or 3 years of heart attacks. Faith can't, even you're in faith, can't nothing kill you. I'm on a journey. You're on a journey. God's not finished at me at 55 years old, 54 years old. But God, I mean, I'm just getting started. Praise God. So I thought, man, I'm promised 120 years in that Bible. Praise God, heathen lived to 80. People say the church in church, well, it's 80. No, that's for heathen. That's for people without God. The promise is 120 years. I want it. I don't want to settle for 80. I'm like, 50, well, that's 30 more years. Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, it's going to go on by, Johnny, and then I've laid it down at 80. Never. We got 120 years. So, fear's not there. Well, you know, I mean, I go to the doctor, the checkups and all of that, and somebody told me, man, don't eat this and don't eat this. We need to eat right, and I'm not against it. Don't fill yourself up with junk, blah, blah, blah. Don't get the wrong message here. It's kind of like I told my doctor, I said, I can tell you right now on Sunday, I've been cooking breakfast for my family for over 30 years on Sunday morning. I'm going to eat hog, sausage, and bacon on Sunday. I'm not going to do it all the time. But I'm going to have me a meal, and I'm going to pray over it and sanctify it in the name of Jesus. I pray and sanctification, and I do. I bless that hog. I like that. Praise the Lord. And so I told my dog, I'm going to have me a meal once, you know, and praise God, and I'm going to pray over it and all of that stuff, you know. Well, every time I go to the doctor, I think, oh, my God, you've been eating hog. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, them arteries stopping back up already. See, you got to cast that kind of thinking out. I told him, I said, look. I said, man, I've indulged myself for 52 years. And it took me 52 years to stop them veins up. But it took brand new ones out of my legs. But God, now I got more than 52 years left. I got new hose pipes, brand new ones. Praise God. Hallelujah. So go down there, praise the Lord, you know, and I cast all of that out and I say, glory to God, hallelujah, going to get me a good report, hallelujah. But I'm expecting a good report every time I leave here. We'll see you in a year, Doc. Going to be another good year. I'm going to get another good report. I'm already believing for a year after, next year. So he tells me, he says, hey, man, he said, hey, you ain't had a, you know, we need to run some dye through there. It's been about 5 years. I said, that's fine. You know, that's fine. Whatever you want to do, Doc, set it up. Go down there and pray God, get in there, and they shoot the dye in there. And he comes and he says, you're just like you was 5 years ago. And I said, yeah, that's great. I left out there and I said, glory to God, there can't nothing change. My faith is like a magnet. Whoop. Don't the Bible say taking the shield of faith? I take my life seriously. I take my faith seriously. I take it. I take my body serious. I'm going to be here a long time, satisfied, not crippled, not thinking, not down there, oh, poor old me. I ain't going to feel sorry for myself. I was on the hospital bed fixing to go into surgery. They wanted me to watch the video, and I thought, I'm not getting these graphic images, you know, of what it looks like to have open. I said, nah, I'm good. Let's just go. Let's go get her done. If I watch the videos, it ain't going to change nothing, is it? All I'm going to do is have some messages in here. Oh, my God. My brother told me later, he said, yeah, man, they stretched you back. They took your heart out, slammed it on the table, and worked on it. And I'm like, oh, my God. If I knew all that, I might not have went in. I don't think they did that, Johnny. I don't know. I didn't research it. But you know what, praise God? My brother came and he said, see, I don't Google a lot about me. You know, because some of that Googling stuff, they got bad experiences. Jesus. Like some of it got bad experiences now. And I'm not gonna believe. God told me this. And it'll get rid of happy, get rid of fear. Never believe based on other people's experience. Because everybody might not have faith, see? Everybody might not have a renewed mind. Everybody might not have a fighting attitude. Everybody might not have a shield of faith. So you can't look at it and say, oh my God, that's what I got to look forward to. You cannot do that. You got to look at the Word of God. Let it be your mirror. Let it be first place, final authority. I sat on the bed, you know, and I started thinking about, you know, fixing to go in, hadn't went into pre-op, Teresa was still there, and I'm sitting there, and I started thinking, and when I did, tears began to run down my face, Johnny. I started to get oppressed. Didn't take but a few seconds. I want to say, baby, I know I'm coming back. She seen it, started, and then all of a sudden I thought, snap out of that. But God, I snapped right out of it, praise God, and I told her, I said, ooh, I'm not going there. That's not going to happen to me, praise God. So I'm in there on the pre-op, they get me ready, you know, to go in, and my family comes in to visit me here. I'm telling you this story, but it's not just my story. This is your life. Faith is contagious. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It don't make no difference for hip surgery or knee surgery or ear surgery or toenail surgery. Don't go in not in faith. Go in faith and come out in faith and walk in faith and recover quick in faith. That's why I believe what the Bible says in Isaiah, that our health will spring forth speedily. God's people goes through things, praise God. Fear stops your faith from working. And so one of my brothers, he had gone to church or nothing, been saved back under 1922, not that far back. a long time, you know, and I mean, my family loves me, even though I love them, even if they're not walking or hadn't been walking or never have, I love them. They're family. Your family's your family, right? And you love them. Well, anyways, one of them said, hey, I talked to God. I prayed for you this morning. Maybe God heard me. And I thought, I told him, I said, hey, I said, I talked to him this morning too. I said, everything's going to be all right. I said, I'll be out in a little while and I'll be back in church real soon. I said, you come on to church. See, the Lord told me, he said, you go in faith and you come out in faith. They didn't want you to tote your breakfast in there. You know, just don't do nothing. That's hard on a man that's been a man. He's been a busy man for years and years and years, you know. That's challenging to have this self-control. But you got it. And so anyways, praise God, came out, praise the Lord, and I recovered quickly. I mean, I recovered real quick. I couldn't walk from here to that pew. I came to church and I done turned into a white boy. I thought I was white till I got here. I took all the Indian out of me. I've been through surgery. I think it might have been a week. And I told Teresa, I said, I'm going to church. It wasn't a week. 3 days. I'm going to church. I said, I've got no reason not to go to church. I didn't see, when you see fear has excuses why you can't do the will of God. You can't go to church. You can't. God, you understand. I'm tired. We all were. We understand. We're this flesh man. We understand it. I can't. I just can't. I mean, I was broke down one time, didn't have a way to go to church, and I called my mother-in-law's husband and asked him if I could borrow a station wagon. I'm going to church. I'm going to go to church. And God told me, he said, because you want to go, he said, I make a way that you've been saying where there seems to be no way. He said, I can't make a way where you won't let me make a way. He said, you get rid of all the excuses you've got to walk in faith. He said, and I'll show up and I will do supernatural things for you. I'll send a taxi if I have to your house. I'll call somebody to come get you. I'll get you a ride. He was telling me as a young Christian, because I would hear people, well, I just can't help it, you know, I have to work. And I'm working from 5 to 5, toting sheetrock. And I thought, oh my God, I can't handle this. Bradley preaches long. The praise and worship leader, he'd drag out a half a verse for 35 or 40 minutes. I'm like, God, can't he shut up? But I'm there, Johnny. I'm tired. I got to go back at 5 in the morning. I don't get home till 10. You know, close to 10, because he's dragging the songs out. Then Bradley, he'll preach longer than he normally does. And somebody's just got to testify 14 times before the service is out. I understand what y'all go through, but you know what? I would say I go in the name of the Lord God Almighty. God, I'm in you. I'm going in your name. I'm going in your strength. And I'm telling you, God ain't never failed me. He will never fail you. Give me that. I ain't got time to do it. Give me that Deuteronomy 31, Beth, please. I done preached my time up. This is Joshua. This is the children of Israel. And Moses, he's 120. And he's telling this. He said, for the Lord thy God, he's telling Joshua. Moses telling Joshua, he's taking up the task. The Lord thy God, he will go over before you, and he will destroy these nations before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Shin and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and into the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that you may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not. Be not afraid of them. Now listen to me. These people had all these natural enemies. I mean, it's not like ours today. We're not having to go in and conquer Bluntsville and kick out all the Hittites and the Jebusites and all that, you know. They did. They had to go in and literally take these natural enemies down. But he tell them, he says, for the Lord thy God will not be strong and of good courage. How many knows he's telling us today, be strong. Have good courage. Don't faint. Don't fear. Stop fearing. Get rid of fear. He said, or fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel. Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with his people unto the land which the Lord hath swore unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is that doeth go before thee. He will be with you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you. Fear not, neither be dismayed. God's selling us this. Don't be discouraged. God knows where you're at. I remember one time my garage door shop was back here before I ever thought about being a pastor of this building or anything. And I mean, everything was going wrong at the workplace. I mean, trucks were breaking down. I was working on one here. The other one was down and all that. And we were getting behind and further behind and all that. And I'm very discouraged. I mean, I'm discouraged. And all of a sudden, the phone rings, and I thought, great, another stupid phone call. See, everything sucks to you when you're in a wrong spirit. When you're yielding the wrong way, you don't have no faith. You're on your own. You're in your own strength. Well, I thought, well, answer the phone, man. I mean, I believe God for this business. So at least answer the phone. So I answered the phone, and it was Teresa. And she had been in prayer. We had in our trailer, we had a big, huge walk-in closet in the trailer we lived in, and that was her prayer room. That was her prayer place. She'd go in there and shut the door and just spend time with God and all that stuff, you know. And she called me up, and she said, you know what? She said, and she's giggling over there, and I'm like, ain't nothing over here funny. She's just laughing, and I'm sitting there praying. I'm like, oh my God, get on with it, you know. And she says, I was in there praying. She said, I don't know what it means or nothing. She didn't know nothing going on over here. She said, I don't know what it means or nothing, but God said it's over. And I thought, when? When's this going to end? This trial's trying to kill me. You know, I didn't tell her that. Well, you got her, and whenever she said that, it went inside of me, and I mean I was changed. Hallelujah. I stood up. I said, oh, okay. I said, thanks, babe, for praying and all that, you know. I hung up, glory to God, and I felt like, glory to God, nothing works against me. See, when he gives you a word, when he brings a word, he gives you the power. The power comes. That's why we seek him. That's why we turn to the word. We don't have to understand why we need to renew our mind to that Bible. That's carnal thinking. Praise God. I mean, how are we not going to renew our mind and have the mind of Christ like Jesus said? I mean, he said, put on the mind of Christ. What kind of mind do you have? Oh, guys, I'm just quitting. I got to quit because they're fixing to put me on the cross, Jack. Y'all ain't worth it. That wasn't his mentality, was it? He said, I come not to do my own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. And you know what that gives Jesus? Give him power of the Holy Spirit. That's where the power came from. The power came from him surrendering his will to God's will. Jesus had to surrender his will to God's will, just like we have to surrender our will to God's will. Then the power comes. I was praying one time and asking the Lord, I said, Lord, increase the anointing. Lord, I want more of the anointing. And he said, why? He said, you're not doing nothing. I said, what? Well, anoint me where I can go do something. He said, no, get up and go do what I'm telling you to do, and I'll anoint you. He said, I'll anoint you to be a father when you act like one. He said, I'll anoint you to increase when you're going forward and expecting me to increase you. He said, you move forward. He said, moving forward is where you see my glory. And that's when he showed me children of Israel, about my life, tied it in my whole life in with the children of Israel. They didn't see no mighty works till they got up out of that camp. They didn't see no mighty works till they decided to move forward. And God said, bury all the vessels. They didn't see no mighty work. Then the enemy says, well, leave the kids here. Y'all go out and worship God. See, he's like, just worship God. Don't go to church regular. Don't fight for your right for ministry. Just worship God and be a good boy. You know. They want some leverage. Leave your donkeys. And then they're like, no, we're taking it all. We're getting out of here. And the Lord told me, He said, give me all. He said, give me all. He said, don't worship no other God. Don't worship yourself. He said, lose your will and you'll find my will and you'll find my power. You'll find my peace. You'll find my anointing. You'll run into my blessing. The blessing of the Lord, Proverbs 10:22, not my job makes me rich. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. He'll cause you to buy $100 trailer and it'll bring $3,500. He used to do that to me. He'd say, buy that. It was $300. Nobody wanted it for three. Then I'd sell it for 15. I'd weld some little piece or something on it, put it up for sale and get 15. I'd be like, just a jackpot, baby. Whoo, God's good. Buy a horse and sell it the right time. See, he'll give you wisdom that you don't have. He'll cause you to have wisdom. You'll be like, man, this can't be the road to the blessing. Then here you'll be, this is the road to the blessing. You just can't see it right now, praise God. You just got to keep going, keep going, praise God. So I want to encourage you, get rid of fear. I'm afraid I'll be sleepy in the morning if I go to church. What if you ain't? I would leave and me and Teresa couldn't shut up. 10:30, 11 o'clock, we'd still be talking about Jesus. Went to church and it was so good. And I'd be like, glory to God, it's worth it. If I don't give it 2 hours sleep, glory to God, it's worth it. I was being built up in Him, praise God. And I found out that God's grace, in 3 hours, I can feel like I slept 30 with God's grace. And then I found out when I'm weak, when I'm at my weak points, that when I lean on Him, then am I made strong. Then is my weakness made strength. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I want to encourage you, get rid of fear. Don't let fear work. I don't know if fear is working in your life. I know it's going to try to. It's going to try to in your marriage. It'll try to work in your finances. It'll try to work in your kids. Praise God. It's tried to work with my grandkids, and I just shut the door and say, stay out, Satan. My grandkids are fine. They're going to end up good. They born into a wealthy family. I'm not talking about we got a lot of money. We got a Bible wealth. We're rich in the Lord. We're rich in the things of God, and we will not lack, and they will not lack. Psalms 23, David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, he fought real stuff back then. He said, I will fear no evil. I will not fear. He wouldn't fear. Just don't fear, praise God. If fear is trying to work in your life, praise God, and I'm going to believe God to reveal it to you. You know, it's worked in mine ignorant to me, not even realizing that it's working, you know, praise God. Come on, let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you and we thank you.